Hey guys, welcome to the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. This is your host, Steve Pintado, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jabron Curtis. What's going on, Jibs?
It's going good, guys. Hope everyone's out there safe and healthy, just trying to get through this all good, and ready to talk some more free agency.
Yes, hopefully everyone's healthy out there, whoever's listening. You know, got some troubled times going on right now in our world, but luckily enough, the football world is keeping us somewhat alive. Obviously, we'll be talking some free agency today, and we're going to be doing a mock draft, hoping that goes well as well. But before we get started with all this, guys, just want to introduce our guest for the day. He's a fan favorite of ours, Dan Mader from the MD's Fantasy Football Show. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be back. Happy to kick off this offseason.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun, as you've probably already known. It's a lot of great signings, a lot of great trades so far.
Yeah, there's been a lot to talk about. I had my first podcast of 2020 last week, and I was pleasantly surprised how much content I had to sift through.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't think we'd have as much to talk about today, because I'd love to just have a mock draft, but we have a bunch to talk about still, and we're going to get right into it. But before we get started, Dan, just let everyone know where they can find you out on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at MDSFFShow, and of course on Facebook at MDFFShow. And all my work's getting published with my rankings, consistency rankings over on BellyUpFantasySports.com at the moment.
Yeah, so guys, give him a follow, give him a look. Dan's got a lot of great insight on fantasy football and all, so always happy to have him on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, just for us, as always, guys, you know, go check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. You can follow the Twitter page or the podcast page on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. You can follow me at Coach Stephen P. And you can follow...
You can follow me at Hot Take Concho on Twitter. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I was going to save you the trouble of having to, you know, speak there. You know, I was going to just throw your Twitter handle in there, but you got it.
Okay.
Switching things up
a
little
bit. We don't want you to
talk on a podcast. It's all
right. Just trying to help you out, make it...
Save some breaths.
Yeah, but let's get right into it, guys. You know, we're going to start with some things that we missed last week. We actually missed the one big one last week. Well, it's not big, but a pretty decent trade that we didn't get to last Wednesday was Nick Foles to the Bears. Pretty obvious, you know, I think they traded a fourth-round pick for him, basically to compete with Mitch Trubisky. To me, I don't think there's much fantasy relevant to it, but maybe Dan, Jibs, maybe you guys got some take on it.
No, it's not fantasy relevant really at all. I still think you're going to see Mitchell Trubisky be the day one starter. It'll just be a matter of time before Nick Foles probably takes over. But no, I mean, yes, he has familiarity with a lot of the coaching staff there. But at the end of the day, we know what Nick Foles is. We're talking about a guy who lost out his job to Gardner Minshew, who was a third-round pick, wasn't supposed to start at all. I don't think you're going to see much of an improvement as far as fantasy purposes for the Bears go.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to bring to the table, but Dan already mentioned it, is just the fact that Nick Foles has that familiarity with the coaching offense. Like, Matt Nagy was his offensive coordinator in 2016. But other than that, hopefully it doesn't kind of tank Allen Robinson's value. Mitch Trubisky, that's like his right-hand man. He just is a target hog for him. So if Nick Foles comes in, maybe there'll be a slight change in production and targets. But other than that, I just don't see it going up or down for the Bears.
Yeah, pretty worthless trade to take $80 million on, but, you know, who am I? Not a GM, I guess. But let's talk about one of the biggest signings since we last went on, guys, and it has to be Todd Gurley getting released from the Los Angeles Rams and then quickly signing the next day a one-year $4 million with the Atlanta Falcons. First off, guys, how do you guys like this? How do you guys like this trade? And not trade, but signing, but... Also, what do you guys think of the backfield now in both Atlanta and now the Rams?
Well, first of all, this was great for the Falcons because you get Todd Gurley on a one-year prove-it deal, essentially. A guy who's coming off with a chip on his shoulder because he wants to prove that he can handle the workload and that his knee is not nearly as big of a deal as everybody's trying to make it out to be. And I think they're just going to give him the rock because why not? That one-year contract gives you all the reason in the world to just be like, hey, you know what? Run yourself into the ground. What do we care? So – I think it's great from a fantasy standpoint of Todd Gurley maybe servicing back up into that RB1, late RB1 territory possibly, because the volume should be there, and I'm a big proponent of that. Knee has been overblown as far as severity of it as well. And then on the flip side of that, when you go to the Rams, it's going to probably be a split between Malcolm Brown, Daryl Henderson. Malcolm Brown probably handling the short yardage carries. Daryl Henderson handling more of the passing down work, but I really wouldn't be surprised if they wound up adding another back either in the draft or maybe signing somebody, because there's still some running backs out there.
Yeah, I like the deal, especially just in the NFL world, because they get Todd Gurley on a very cheap contract for an all-pro player. You can't ask for any more. Like, Devontae Freeman did get his fair share of the rushing attempts when he was the lead running back for the Atlanta Falcons, so I believe that Todd Gurley will still sustain some value, even more value, especially if he just has the lead role, because Brian Hill and Quadri Allison is not cutting it down there, so just... he wants to prove it, just like Dan said, and he's going to have all the attention on him so he can get that next deal for himself. And then for the Rams, it's going to be just a messy situation. You don't know. They could draft someone in the NFL draft. They have two reliable running backs. I hope Darrell Henderson gets the nod because he's the younger guy. They spent some pretty hefty capital on him, if you ask me. But Malcolm Brown did also prove that he could be that guy spelling Todd Gurley last year, and he did a pretty good damn job at it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a, you know, it was a decent trade overall. Not trade, but I keep saying trade. A decent signing overall for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Gurley definitely sees somewhat of an improvement, I think. I think the Atlanta will try to use him a little bit more than the Rams probably were going to use him this year. Obviously, the Atlanta's offensive line was actually much better than the Rams were this year. Not much better, but they were a little bit better than compared to the Rams, so that's definitely an upgrade there. I'm just concerned about the, you know, 61 red zone attempts that Gurley got last year. I don't know if he's going to see that this year with this kind of being more of a passing team with Julio and Calvin, and now with Hayden Hurst there in that tight end spot. Just a bit concerned about his value overall, that he's not going to see those 12 touchdowns he just had this coming season, but kind of has the same yardage and maybe less touchdowns. So a little concerning for me there. I think he's still a solid RB2 there, and more than likely, like you guys said, like I'm sure they're going to bring someone else in to kind of carry the workload just a little bit, because, you know, those knees are not going to give out any day now. So not a horrible signing there. But what's left over now in L.A. is, you know, Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown. I think Henderson eventually gets the starting job. I think they kind of try to make this a huge competition to kind of boost up Henderson. Brown was actually a decent option. I think he knows the playbook better, and I think he's a little bit more experienced than Henderson. But I think in the long run, and some point during the season, I think Henderson kind of just takes over, and talent kind of outdoes experience at some point. And Henderson could be a nice sleeper value you can get in the, you know, 7th or 8th round probably your drafts right now, and kind of be a solid maybe RB2 for you guys coming into the season. But let's get over to the next guy here, another 2015 first-round running back, and it's Melvin Gordon. And guys, he just signed a 2-year, $16 million, fourth highest among running backs, deal with the Denver Broncos. How does this affect this backfield now moving forward?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's annoying from a fantasy standpoint, annoying from an objection standpoint, because like, I wanted Melvin Gordon to go somewhere where he was going to have an opportunity to actually get the entire workload, because I like him a lot as a pass catcher. Not only is that because he was there with Austin Eckler, a big part of his game that he's really good that he kind of got sidestepped a little bit on. But now you go there with Phillip Lindsay, I guess because Denver was the only team willing to pay him close to what the Chargers were willing to offer, and he didn't get what he wanted at the end of the day. But now you're kind of looking at a situation where it's like, all right, you might get a 55-45 split across the board if he's lucky a 60-40 split, but that's about it. Making both of these running backs, really, Melvin Gordon at most could be a lower-end RB2, but making them both essentially flex plays.
I love this move. It's very strange that he sat out last year to come back midseason, and then he took less money to play against his former team, signing with Denver. So fantasy-wise, it does make the Denver backfield very, very crowded. I don't think they got rid of Royce Freeman this offseason. So you have Royce Freeman, you have Phillip Lindsay, you have Melvin Gordon. So I think Lindsay is the optimal back there. And not like saying that he's going to oversee Melvin Gordon, but I think he will get his fair share of touches. That'll leave Royce Freeman basically in the desert, and then Melvin Gordon will just kind of like just vibe for it. So like it's going to be 50-50, 60-40, wherever you get, but it's going to be just another headache. And then the Denver running back backfield is going to be crowded for another year. So like it's always been crowded.
So you like the trade for the Broncos or for fantasy?
I like it for Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. Oh, for his him getting paid, you know. Okay.
And he gets to play against his former team. I heard he also he had another offer that was higher than the one that Denver offered, but he wanted to play against the Chargers, so he took that.
But people love revenge games. I mean, I guess for Denver's sake, it's a good signing. You know, get another talented player in there. But for fantasy, I absolutely hate it. I mean, I was really high on Philip Lindsay this coming season here now. One of the biggest things was Pat Shurmur coming over as new offensive coordinator now, and he kind of likes that multi-purpose back that you can have there, and I think Lindsay could have filled that role nicely as a main back with Royce Freeman kind of coming in from time to time. And now it gets a little complicated because you would have to assume that they paid Melvin Gordon all that money for a reason to have him come in here and handle the heavier load. And then Lindsay kind of gets that backup role kind of thing to him. A lot of people have been saying that Phillip Lindsay is going to be the next Austin Eckler. I mean, I don't know if that's the same concept. I don't think Phillip Lindsay is going to catch all these passes like Austin Eckler does this coming season. So it's kind of really complicated. I just don't like it. And again, Gordon's probably like a lower end RB2 while Royce with Lindsay kind of being a high end running back 3 here. It's just a real headache at this point, and not good for fantasy football whatsoever.
No, just to add that real quick, the only plus side is that the Broncos are going to probably run the ball 75% of the time next year. So that's the only thing working for them.
Yeah, that's true, definitely, especially with the young guy, Drew Lock. But if I'm not mistaken, Drew Lock, it wasn't really a big guy on throwing to the backs there, so that definitely kind of negates their value just a bit on that end. But they probably will end up running more often than not now with this younger guy to give him a little bit more confidence in that backfield.
I would say that changes with Shurmur, because Shurmur does have an offense built around throwing to the back, so he's probably going to implement that into his young quarterback, I would say. So I think that might balance itself out.
Hopefully. We definitely like some catches in that backfield, especially you guys who like that PPR lifestyle. So next on the list here, I'm going to skip this guy because he's a little bit more mediocre, but Emmanuel Sanders to New Orleans. 32 years old, been productive throughout his career, came back last season off after a torn Achilles, played pretty well for the most part, decent fantasy season. Now he gets to sit up with a Drew Brees, a great quarterback now. Can this guy, kind of make an impact on this team? Does it affect Michael Thomas at all?
No, it doesn't affect Michael Thomas. The only way it affects Michael Thomas is that it opens things up for Thomas and Kamara when it comes to the passing game, because what happens now is finally, defenses are not just going to key on those two guys, and we've seen these guys blow up when defenses had a key on just the two of them as it is. Emmanuel Sanders is a nice player, but he's more there to take attention away from Thomas, from Kamara in the passing game than he is to take away their touches. I mean, Thomas is going to see a regression in target just because it was so high last year, just a natural regression is going to happen. But as far as him being a wide receiver one, yeah, that doesn't take away from that at all.
Nah, he's freaking Michael Thomas. He's going to get his. But I kind of want to cry because the Saints finally got Michael Thomas a sidekick. Like Dan said, the offense is going to open up a little bit more. You saw when he got traded to San Francisco last year, him and Jimmy G meshed very well. He's a witty veteran. Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame veteran quarterback, so I don't think they're going to have any lag in getting together and making some chemistry in the offense. But it's not going to be super productive. We saw what the offense is. It's Kamara. It's Michael Thomas. The only thing I think that will impact Michael Thomas is going to be his targets, but he's still going to get 120-plus. That's without a doubt.
Oh, I mean, probably at least 140, at least. I could see that easily happening still, even with that regression of 180 he had last year. But, yeah, I mean, for the Saints, obviously it's a great signing there. They have a veteran guy in that field that they've been looking for that wide receiver to. And, for fantasy purposes, definitely nice a notch for Drew Brees, obviously. Michael Thomas, like you guys said, Dan and Jibs, like, he won't get affected. He's going to be a number one, probably the number one wide receiver this year in fantasy again. But for his own value, I mean, I think it's a pretty solid value. I think maybe a high-end wide receiver 3, maybe a wide receiver 2 if they really get him, if they actually give him the targets. I know they have Kamara, they have Thomas, I mean, they have Jared Cook, who was pretty effective late in the season there. He may be the most affected by this signing coming up because he had 65 targets, and that could go down a little bit with Sanders there possibly. But, you know, definitely a decent trade, decent signing there, and pretty good overall for the Saints to grab a guy like that right now and you know, their Super Bowl aspirations. And then we go over the next guy here, another wide receiver real quick. Don't like it at all, but Robbie Anderson, one of the big-time free agents in this free agency class, signs a two-year, $20 million deal with the Carolina Panthers. Yes, I know. I hate it. Guys, why don't you give me your take on this, if you guys like this or not.
Well, let me ask you this quick question. Do you guys hate it from a fantasy standpoint, or do you hate it from a football standpoint? I think from a football standpoint, it's brilliant.
Football standpoint, brilliant. Fantasy, eh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with that part I agree with. Here's the thing. This is what it signals to me the most on why I don't totally give up hope on that situation, is that it definitely seems like Joe Brady's going to come in, run his offense, run his predominant three-receiver set offense. So I think you're going to see Teddy Bridgewater throw the ball a little bit more than people maybe anticipated at first. So it's not totally hopeless there. What I do think is that DJ Moore will still continue to be a wide receiver too. He should still be the lead target in that. Robbie Anderson will be more of a flex, more of a wide receiver three with big play capabilities. It's going to be a matter of figuring out when those big plays are going to come. It's more of Curtis Samuel might come out to a fantasy wasteland now. That's more what the issue would be from a fantasy standpoint. But all this, I think, opens up for Christian McCaffrey being able to get some, you know, not have to run against 10 guys in the box. I'm really curious to see what he's able to do from a rushing standpoint. We might see his targets go down. He might not get 100 receptions again this season. Probably won't with the addition of Robbie Anderson, but he'll still be heavily involved in the passing game. The big thing would be, can he take his rushing stats up a notch? I think he might.
Yeah, I'm just not really a fan. Like, Teddy Bridgewater isn't the poster boy for, like, burning the field down with his deep ball. And he has two deep ball receivers, but like I said, it's a fancy perspective from an NFL perspective. Like, is the Panthers coach Matt Rhule right now, right?
Yeah,
Matt Rhule. So Matt Rhule definitely coached Robbie Anderson at Temple when he did play in college. So he knows a little bit of thing about how to get Robbie motivated. Maybe this could be a good thing for him. Get a nice change of scenery. Doesn't have to deal with the poopy Jets. And I think it could be good for him. He's not going to have any like crazy fantasy relevance. Wide receiver three, he can't. I don't think he will ever make a high end wide receiver two. I mean, a wide receiver two. But I still think we can still put Robbie Anderson in the lineup. He is Mr. December, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I really want him to go back to the Jets. I feel like another year with Sam Darnold could have made a difference, even if the Jets are poo. But I mean, thing with Teddy Bridgewater is, I know he can throw the deep ball, but he really didn't have to do that too much. Again, maybe under this new offense, he does that more. Last year, when he had 196 attempts and only had 15 deep ball attempts, I mean, in five starts, not horrible. That's about three a game or so. So maybe Robbie Anderson gets his in the deep range, you know, shots there. But I think, you know, Robbie Anderson being there is definitely good for the other receivers in some sense, because he's going to be the guy that's going to stretch the field. These guys are going to go underneath, which they are much better at, like Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. Yes, Curtis Samuel's probably going to take a little bit of more of a hit because he'll probably be the wide receiver three on the team now. But definitely, I think it's a solid boost up for DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, just because they're going to be the more underneath route guys and kind of get the ball the shorter, the mid-range throws there, and they're going to be a little bit more wide open while, you know, Robbie Anderson's kind of stretching the field there. So in that case, I like it, but I really wanted Robbie Anderson to kind of go to a different team, or at least go to a team where they're going to use him a little bit more often than not. But we'll have to see with this whole new offense and new quarterback and how this team kind of meshes all together come 2020. And then at this point, guys, pretty much all mediocre signings. And maybe I'll let you guys tell me if you guys want to mention them or not. First one is Eric Ebron signs a two-year deal with Pittsburgh. PJ Walker, the XFL stud, signed with Carolina as well. Devin Funchess, the big-bodied receiver, signed with the Packers. Tyler Eifert signed with the Jaguars to shore up that tight end spot. Tajay Sharpe signed with the Vikings. Deion Lewis signed with the G-Men. Rashad Perryman signed with the Jets. Who else do we have here? And then Philip Dorsett signed with Seattle. And Peyton Barber signed with Washington. Any of these guys really interest you? Any of the signings here?
Don't interest me, but can I just say really quick, what is Washington doing signing Peyton Barber?
Yes,
like,
please.
Like, what, like, why? Like, why? As soon as I saw it, I'm like, do you not already have Adrian Peterson? Does he not already do the same thing? And then to find out on top of it that Peyton Barber actually got paid a decent amount of money to go with it. I'm like, what are you doing, Rivera? How many running backs do you want to have?
I mean, 2 year, $3 million is a pretty decent amount for a guy who probably won't see 100 carries.
Exactly. I don't know. I lost my mind when I saw that one. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not, definitely not touching the Washington backfield this year for sure.
They probably saw what San Francisco was doing. It's like, oh, maybe we get five running backs so you get to the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, you run the Shanahan system, then okay, but until you do that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these are pretty mediocre for the most part. Those who out there who, you know, had Bashard Perryman last year, who was like, oh my God, this guy is a stud late in the season, don't take too much into this signing with the Jets just because the Jets have an open starting roster spot. It's under an Adam Gase system that really have ran the slot role as being the featured guy in there. Why I always love Jameson Crowder. But, you know, in the 4 or 5 years, you know, the last couple seasons in Miami and the last season in Jets now, I mean, they've never really had a guy get over, you know, 900 yards. So just don't expect that Bashard Perryman to go in there and just dominate like he was, you know, last year in Tampa. This is a different team, different quarterback situation, different play style. So just don't go all nuts on that, guys, and go like, oh, he's at the fifth or sixth round pick. No, it's a little early for him, guys. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, talk about an offense that's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Basically, overall, though, yeah. But besides that, I mean, no one else really sticks big. I mean, maybe Ebron or Eifert could be sleepers now, maybe. Late rounds, if you guys like the late round tight ends. Philip Dorsett could be a guy, maybe bye week fill in. But, I mean, no one else really was a too big of a signing after we went through the big shots from last week. So
I like Lewis, though, for the Giants, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah, it'll be not. Obviously, he's not taking any of Saquon's stuff, but he's a nice, well-rounded veteran. He could play, he could catch the ball, he could run the ball, so he could just fill the void when Saquon needs a Gatorade break, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Or if he has another high ankle sprain. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
He did have that in college as well, so that's not something that is out of the possibility.
That I would like. I think Deion Lewis could handle a workload, but. Yeah, not too bad. Okay, cool. So that all the free agency catch-up, guys. Obviously, we'll keep them all throughout the offseason if anyone else signs. There's really not many people at this point left that needs a sign, but maybe a trade or two could happen down the road. So we're here for the biggest part, the funnest part probably of this. It's the mock draft time, guys. We want to do a 12-man PPR mock draft, all pick different spots. Jibs, you have the 3. Dan, you have the 6, and I took the 10th. And it's just one quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, 1 flex, 1 tight end, and then 5 bench spots. We didn't go too crazy because we could sit here for hours drafting. We left the kickers and defense off because we really don't need to talk about those too much right now, and we could go deeper in the bench spot, but we only have so much time to talk about mock draft. So we're just going to get it started right away, and it's a lot of fun. You really can't hate it. Obviously, the first 2 picks off the board, Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey early on. Again, Christian McCaffrey's probably going to go 1 most times, but you never know. Sometimes Saquon is that talented still. He could go 1. But Jibs is on the board. Jibs, who are we going with?
Yeah, I typically pick running backs in my top 3, but I'm going to change it up this time around. I'm going to go with, we already talked about him, Michael Thomas.
And Michael Thomas still off the board, followed by Hopkins, Dalvin Cook. And now, Dan, you're up. Where are we leaning to?
No, I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. I'm going Zeke all the way.
Zeke all day.
Can't believe he's on the board there at 6, to be honest.
People seem to be high on Dalvin Cook. I mean, I'm not as high, but people seem to be high on his production early in the last season.
I love Dalvin, but the thing is, you have to take into consideration is that last year is probably one of his more healthy years he's going to have, and that's the part where I get a little hesitant about taking him in the top 5, like a lot of people have.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. He has yet to play a full season in his career, so it's definitely a huge concern risk moving forward. Followed that, Odell Beckham, Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill finished off through 9 picks, and then it's my turn. I mean, I could go Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers, or I could go Chris Godwin with Tom Brady. Oof, gosh. I'm going to take the exact absolute sure thing. I think Chris Godwin's also almost an absolute sure thing, but Devontae Adams is just Aaron Rodgers' guy, and you know he's going to get like 10-plus targets each and every week almost. So Devontae Adams, come join the squad. Followed that, Mike Evans, then Chris Godwin, Juju, and Joe Mixon finished out the end of round one and the first two picks of round two. And then I'm back up, and I got a guy who fell in Nick Chubb with Kareem Hunt being back there now. Things kind of looking down. You know, Cooper I could go for. I'm going to take Amari Cooper. He has that sometimes. He has some, you know, quiet games, but, you know, he's still with this offense here. Dax is quarterback. He's been really good since he's been with the Cowboys the last year and a half. So I'm going to go my two wide receivers and get them out of the way with early. And then we followed up.
I like that move.
Thank you, thank you. Then we followed up with Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs, running backs off the board. And Dan, you're back up now.
Oh, here we go. Okay. My thing's glitching. Here we go. looking at this, we could go a couple different directions. I do have Zeke already, but they have guys like DJ Moore, George Kittle, and Fournette up there. I'm going with Old Faithful. I'm going with Julio Jones. I still believe he's a wide receiver one and will continue to be as such. Always going to finish in the top three.
Yes, Julio is definitely a solid guy you can get in the back of round one or even round two. So after that, Aaron Jones, DJ Moore, some young guys off the board. And now Jibs, you got back up here. Top player is George Kittle.
Top player is George Kittle, but for me, I think I'm going to have to go invest in that running back position. It's going to be your engine on the team most weeks. So I'm going to pick Leonard Fournette. He did get a nice workload last year. There wasn't any resistance at all from the other mates in the running back position. So I'm going to take those carries, volume back, and he did also improve in PPR last year. So getting his reception totals up.
All right, and Leonard Fournette's off the board. Finishing off round two is Kenny Galladay, A.J. Brown, and beginning of round three, Miles Sanders and George Kittle ran into round three. And now, Jibs, you almost had Kittle. You're back up now.
And I almost had Miles Sanders, too, who I wanted.
Sanders is great. I'm loving him.
So, kind of got shafted a little bit here. I could go wide receiver. I could also take Kelsey if I needed to. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that positional advantage. I'm going to take Travis Kelsey. He plays with the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. Especially in redrafts, you can't beat that for another good year or maybe 2 years now with his production being high. Surprisingly, no quarterbacks have gone yet, but Allen Robinson and Cortland Sutton followed those picks, and now, Dan, you're back up here.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do something I don't normally do in this situation, and it's because I usually will wait a long time to take a quarterback. But in the third round here, I'm going to take the guy that I think is going to be guaranteed another 400-point season with Lamar Jackson.
I don't like
taking quarterbacks in the third round, but when you're talking about a guy who is almost guaranteed 1,000 yards rushing, I think he could rush for even more rushing touchdowns this season than he did last year, which we only had 7. I would think they could definitely get up to 9, maybe even more, who knows. How about a guy who also led the league in passing touchdowns with no weapons? His number one wide receiver was a rookie who was hurt half the year. I can't wait to see what this team is able to do. I think this is the Super Bowl contending team of the year, and Lamar Jackson, I think, is just going to be just as good as he was a year ago.
Ooh, all right. Someone's high on Lamar Jackson. All right. Love the pick. Can't go wrong with a guy like that in the third. Followed that is Austin Eckler, Calvin Ridley, and Stephon Diggs. And now I'm back up here. I got a situation to go here now. I should have sweat running back early. I mean, wide receiver later, because there's always great guys in the third and fourth rounds. I don't like my running back situations. I guess I could go Melvin, but I don't want to. And I'm going to take Dan's approach here and go quarterback, Pat Mahomes. I don't usually do this either. But, I mean, end of the third round at this point, you really can't be a guy who's going to put up probably 35 to 40 touchdowns again this season after regressing last year and also being injured and having his star be injured as well. So I think Pat Mahomes here, going off my hiatus here, but Pat Mahomes is joining the team now. And then following that, Keenan Allen, Todd Gurley finished round three. Round four is Cooper Kupp, DK Metcalf. And now I'm back on the board here. The only guy I really lost was Todd Gurley I could have took. And the running back situation looks a little rough. I could take Melvin here. I just don't like it. Kerryon and Mac, for me, are injury-prone guys. So I'm going to take Kenyon Drake here. I like him in Arizona. He's going to be the lead guy. He's going to get majority of the carries, even with Chase Edmonds there. I'm not too scared of him being my RB1. I can live with it, so. And following that, carry on Michael Gallup and Marlon Mack. And now we'll back up to Dan again.
All right. I have a lot of options, and I would love to just take all of these guys here. Probably get, like, one pick, and it's like I could take five different guys here as I'm looking through it. I would be okay with taking Melvin Gordon here. I would be good with taking Adam Thielen here. I love Tyler Lockett here.
Some nice players.
In this situation, though, I do think I'm going to go towards taking, especially since it's a full-point PPR, I'm going to go take Adam Thielen. I'm going to take that week-to-week. Stephon Diggs is gone. He's going to be clear-cut number one receiver every single week on this team. So I think that consistency is really what I'm going to go for in that situation.
Definitely. You saw him in the playoffs when he got healthy again last year. He was just a beast in those two games. So following that, Tyler Boyd, Robert Woods, and now Jibs, you're back on the board.
So I got Michael Thomas. I ain't worried about receivers anytime soon. Melvin Gordon is still on the board, surprisingly. And I think I'm going to take a nab at him. Why not?
I mean, round four guy, definitely you take your shot now at this point. Not a bad play whatsoever. I mean, he hopefully should have the majority of the carry. So. And then the follow-up of the round four is Landry and DJ Shark Jr. And now round five, we start with Tyler Lockett, Scary Terry, Terry McLaurin. And now, Jibs, you're back up again.
So now, since I got Melvin Gordon, I'm going to take Devin Singletary. I just want some backs who are just literally the lead dogs in their situations. He proved to be a nice rookie last year. He had explosive plays, and he's going to deliver me some good results.
The fact they didn't pick up anyone free agency definitely bodes well, unless they draft somebody, but love that he has the main job still without much competition. And then following that is Evan Ingram, Deshaun Watson, and then Dan, you're back up.
Yeah, I'm going to take my quarterback's number one actual target, and I'm going to take Mark Andrews. Was big on him last year. Would love to have this combination again this year, just touchdowns all day long.
Right. Definitely love the combo matching up. I was on a podcast earlier this week, and they asked if picking up their quarterback and their main target is the thing. I'm like, absolutely. Especially if it works out right and you get him at the right values. Absolutely. And then after that, Deebo Samuels, Dave Montgomery, so close. Devontae Parker, off the board. Now I'm back with a horrible running situation right now. You know, I got James Conner, Lev Bell, and Chris Carson right now. Could take that route. I don't like the tight end position. I don't like the receivers as much. But I'm going to go running back, and I'm going to go with the guy who I leaned on heavily last year in a lot of my leagues, and that's Chris Carson. He's going to hopefully be healthy by the start of the season. He's going to get the main carries on this board. So, and then following that, James Conner and Zach Ertz finished round five. Round six, we got Le'Veon Bell and Christian Kirk, and now it's back up to me once again. And now I got a decision to make because I don't care for everyone on this board right now, but I'm going to look around and see what I have here. Oh, man. This is rough, guys. I'm not going to lie to you right now. I'm not really high on all these guys. I should have waited until Kyle Murray now. This would have been a big pick for Kyle Murray. You know what? I'm going to go tight end, get my tight end on the board. I know T-Mobile, Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback more than likely for the Chargers, but when he was a starter in Buffalo, he kept Charles Clay kind of relevant, so I'm hoping he can keep Hunter Henry somewhat relevant as well. And Mike Williams, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray off the board. Now, Dan, we're back to you.
I'm gonna get a little ballsy here. I'm going to have to go with A.J. Green.
A.J. Green.
You snake. That's what I was about to take.
With Joe Burrow coming in, they're going to be a pass-first offense. We're going to see Zach Taylor probably actually get a chance to actually run his offense, assuming A.J. Green can actually get through training camp without getting hurt. He's still a number one receiver in my eyes when healthy. So I'm going to pair him up there with Julio.
Yeah, not a bad pick at all. Not at all. And then we followed up with Hollywood Brown, Phillip Lindsay. A little early, I feel like, for Lindsay. But, you know, maybe he gets that strong role this year. And now, Jibs, we're on to you.
Picking Russell Wilson. He's been nagging his coach that he wants to get this offense up tempo. He wants to play like Kansas City. So I'm thinking that he's going to have some explosive plays. He has one more year with DK Metcalf. He has Tyler Lockett. If you want to call Philip Dorsett anything, you can. But like you said, their offense is good. They always make the playoffs. I trust Russell Wilson, even though he drives me crazy.
He's got one problem about going up tempo. His offensive coordinator is Brian Schottenheimer, and it's never going to happen.
That is true. That is very true. Wow, we all took quarterbacks early. I feel like none of us are real quarterback early guys, but we all took them early. That's what mock draft does. You can experiment a little bit there, see what you got going on. Following that pick was Darius Geis and T.Y. Hilton finishing out round six. Round seven began with N'Keal Harry, Carson Wentz, and now Jibbs. You got another shot here. You have no wide receiver two there.
Yeah, so looking at the boards, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Curtis Samuel, and Mecole Harmon as the top dogs there. And out of that bunch, I think I'm going to lean with the upside play. If Sammy Watkins does not re-sign with the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe Harmon becomes that wide receiver too. I could pan on that. I just don't want to risk with Will Fuller's injuries, Brandon Cooks' concussion history, and then the crowdy, messy Panthers offense right now. But, actually, I'm going to pivot. John Brown. Boom.
John Brown. Not scared of Diggs being there now? All right.
Yeah, not scared of Diggs there at all.
No.
You sure?
No, I am. But I can't be a beggar. I'm begging right now. I don't have anything. I just have Michael Thomas, so I might have to trade with Dan or Beaver or Steve or maybe this computer.
All right, not a bad pick there, Jiz, I guess. Kareem Hunt and Brandon Cooks off the board now. Dan, you got another shot now. You only got one running back.
Well, and I'm just going all in. The number one touchdown scoring offense will be yet again, and I'm going to take Mark Ingram to be my second running back. I'm just touchdown all day on the Ravens. That's pretty
damn
much
you,
gonna
Dan.
Blow it down
damn
too.
You. I really thought I'd get Mark Ingram to follow me. It's going to ruin my plans here. All right. I got to pivot here. Austin Hooper, Curtis Samuel, and Darren Waller off the board. I really was kind of considering pairing up a two tight end set here. But, I got some things to choose from now. You know what? Oh, yeah, he's still there. All right. I'm going to go David Johnson, guys. I know he's been injury prone. I know he's been a laughing stock over the last couple of years now. But I'd like to see him with a team where he's going to have majority of the carries, hopefully, and maybe he's going to be healthy come the season starts. I'm going to take the risk on round seven. He could be a guy who could be a number top 12 running back, or he's not going to be a top 12 running back and be like a bottom, you know, outside the top 30 guy. So I'm going to take a shot on him and see what happens here. And then we got James.
It's not a bad pick there.
Yeah, in the seventh round, you're begging or choosing at this point with some of these players.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he could end up finishing in the top, 15 running back still. I think he could still do it. It seems unlikely, but I think he could do it. And then James White, Josh Allen finish out round seven. Round eight, Mecole Harmon, Will Fuller off the board. And then it's back to me again. We only have five picks left, so at this point my starting lineup is set. I don't know really where to go here. You know what? I'm going to take another shot here. I'm going to take Darrell Henderson Jr., hopeful starter for the Los Angeles Rams. I'm in the past today. Hopefully he can kind of give me some kind of production and be a great back, hopefully, come this year. And then Baker, Sterling Shepard, and Rashad Penny off the board. And Dan, we're back up to you.
Yeah, kind of just scrolling through here, like, all right, what do I want to have depth-wise around this awesome starting lineup that I've created for myself?
The lineup's perfect. Death, though.
And I think I'm actually going to go Raheem Mostert here. I think he's going to be the guy who's going to at least get the majority of the carries. Now, the San Francisco 49ers, that may only mean 12 to 15 in a game, but you only need 12 to 15 to really make your mark, especially as a flex play, which is essentially what I would use him for in this situation anyway. So I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert there.
No, definitely a great pick. A big fan of his. Following that, Noah Fant and Aaron Rodgers off the board. And Jibs, we're back up to you.
Me, I'm going to go. Hope this is Deontay Johnson. Yeah, Deontay Johnson. He's going to be playing with Big Ben this year, not Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph. I think he could definitely mesh well, fill that extra role that Juju has not been fulfilling, and he could even have a better year than last year, given the fact that he's a field stretcher for.
You know I'm high on Deontay Johnson this year. Great pick, and especially in round 8. And then Julian Edelman falls. Wow. Robbie Anderson, well, obviously Julian Edelman's going to fall, but Robbie Anderson finishing around round 8. Round 9 begins with TJ Hockenson, Marvin Jones, and now Jibs, you get another chance here for one of your bench spots.
Oh, yeah. D. Slayton.
Okay.
Same scenario, just in the New York Giants form.
Yes. As long as
I'm other than Saquon Barkley, I'm petrified of touching the Giants with Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator. Like, I'm just like, I don't even, are you going to run a high school offense? Like, I'm not sure what you're going to do there.
Dancing with the devil.
He's been pretty, when he's the offensive coordinator, he has some pretty high, you know, scoring offenses or highly ranked offenses.
Long ago now, though.
Well, maybe he can find some spark. I don't know. But he has done it in the past. I mean, I'd like to see what happens with all these wide receivers and tight ends on the field here and see who Daniel Jones really enjoys. So, you know, a boom or bust kind of play there. But Sony Michel off the board and Mike Gesicki. And Dan, we're back to you.
All right, I'm just going to keep going with my good depth plays here, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up Alshon Jeffery. He's still going to be the number one receiver for the Eagles as it stands right now, and in this situation, he'd be my fourth receiver on my roster, so I don't have to lean on him if he gets hurt.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a guy who's been very, at this point, it seems really underrated that like no one really wants him for some reason, but he can put up big plays when he's healthy at least.
Ready for 64.
Exactly. That's exactly what he does all the time. So then following that is Damian Williams, Matt Ryan, and Anthony Miller off the board. And I'm kind of at a situation where I definitely could use another wide receiver right now. They're looking pretty skim as well right now. I'm going to take the guy who I know will be a solid wide receiver 3 and I can fill in. And I'm going Jameson Crowder, especially PPR leagues. He's going to have another decent season again this year, and you just can't need a guy sometimes who can put up 10 to 12 points for you when you need to start right there. So, and then following that, Dallas Goedert, Tevin Coleman off round 9. Round 10 begins with Andy Isabella, Jared Goff. This guy took a quarterback late. Okay. And then it's my turn again, and let's see what we got going on here. Situation's looking rough here. Maybe I'll take my second tight end now off the board, and I'm going to go Higbee. You know, this is a guy who came on late last year, guys. If you all recall, three, four straight 100-yard games. Going to be probably a little different this year, but I think they're doing this mostly because, you know, things change where they kind of had to use Higbee to kind of get that initial block off and then him kind of go out, and then Jared Goff kind of, you know, a little shovel pass across the middle, and that's why you saw the offense a little change a little bit. I think Higbee can still be a good backup value here. Could still be a tight end 1 possibly this year.
Yeah, I like the pick. When you say you're going to go your backup tight end, you almost gave me a heart attack. That I was like, if he takes my guy, I'm going to be so pissed. and my guy is, as soon as my app comes back up here, because it kind of kicked me out for a second, is going to be O.J. Howard. Because I want to take that shot with Brady there. Are you going to go back to utilize the tight ends? He hasn't had that kind of tight end since Rob Gronkowski, especially with the one-on-ones that he's going to see all over the field. I'm really curious to see what happens there. So I like O.J. Howard as my second tight end there.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was really thinking about it. And I was like, nah, let me go Higbee here. I like what he was able to do last year. So those picks that went between those were Royce Freeman, Tariq Cohen, Justice Hill. And then after that, Jibs went already. Alexander Mattison and D.D. Westbrook. And then Jibs, you took Ronald Jones. Why?
Because Peyton Barber just got that fresh new contract with the Washington Redskins. That leaves Ronald Jones and Dare Ogunbowale. So, figure Tom could probably get Ronald Jones on the right path. I don't think it's going to be that much difficult just to just listen to Tom Brady, run the ball, listen to me, and we're going to get it done. I know he hasn't had a great start to his NFL career, but I'm just oozing with this. I'm optimistic about his situation right now.
I mean, it's not a bad situation, especially as of right now, he would be the lead back. I'm just betting money that they're going to take a running back in, like, the first round.
Oh, yeah. But this is at the end of March,
before that.
So...
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Right now, I agree. I agree with where you went with your line of thinking there on this one.
Yeah, maybe, you know, with having Tom Brady back there, we can kind of boost him up a little bit. So we'll see on that. He could be a PPR guy. You never know.
He's fourth running back.
Yeah, exactly. Following that real quick, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston finishing out round 10. Round 11 began with Devontae Freeman, who has no job, and Sammy Watkins. And now, Jibs, you got 10 seconds left. What you got going on?
I I'm going to pick Jonnu Smith for my backup tight end.
Jonnu Smith, great guy. Speedster tight end there. Definitely a great pick there. He was definitely coming on late with Ryan Tannehill last year. So, and then following that, Paris Campbell, who I really liked, really wanted, and Cam Newton without the job with also other Knicks two picks. And now, Dan, your second to last pick.
I'm going to go a little – probably was a little bit of a reach here, but I'm going to go with Nyheim Hines. Just the idea, like, all right, with Phillip Rivers there,
oh, I know why.
Will they utilize the running back? Will he use Hines more? Because I was disappointed with how much they let Hines play when Marlon Mack was healthy. So just being a little bit concerned about that. But with Phillip Rivers there, I feel like that's a he's going to check it down, ball down. So I like Nyheim Hines in a PPR league.
Definitely. Definitely a great pick there. And then following that, James Washington, Corey Davis, and Preston Williams, one pick away. Ugh. Off the board here. And I don't know if I'm going to take a backup quarterback. I probably won't. So I'm going to take another running back here. And I saw a guy who's still sitting on the board here. And right now, round 10 or round 11, without the draft in mind, I mean, come on, Jordan Howard to Miami. The offensive line's a little shaky, but this is a guy who can still put up yardage. So in the 11th round,
I'm better not going to. Better than Patrick Laird.
Yes, exactly. Better than Patrick Laird, yes. And then finishing round 11 with Matthew Stafford and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And then round 12, we got Tony Pollard, some backups, Matt Breida, and then my last pick of the day. And definitely going back to wide receiver here. And, they're not really that great. But, you know, I'm going to take a shot on Emmanuel Sanders that he can kind of put up some decent production with the New Orleans Saints and call the day there. And then after that, Latavius Murray, Irv Smith, Wendt, Golden Tate, and now Dan, you're back up on the board.
Yeah, I got exactly who I wanted to follow to me, too. Or did I? The stupid app, man, it just jinxes on you. Tyrell Williams is who I'm going with here. Number one target still, get him with my last pick of the draft. Still the guy who had a good stretch of being a high-end wide receiver, too. So I'm going to take him here and be my backup, my fifth receiver.
All right. Can still put up points, that's for sure. And then following that, Duke Johnson and David Njoku off the board. And now, Jibs, your very last pick.
This is sad. I don't know. I'm just a big kicker.
You can't be a kicker. We don't have kickers.
I know. I just want to, though.
Just Tucker on the board. Let's go.
I guess I'll just go with you. Perryman.
All right. Talked about him already. You went with him anyway. All right, like it. And then finishing the draft was Jared Cook and Jimmy Garoppolo. And that is the draft, guys. We're going to post this on social media, on Twitter later. We're going to have you guys vote and see who got the best team, who won. Obviously, you guys, I'm sure, will pick my team, but we'll find out with the votes, hopefully. But
I'm going to get incinerated.
Nah, John Brown, come on, great pick there. But that is the end of our show today, guys. Dan, as always, man, we always love having you on. Always get great content out there for us. We appreciate it. And just let everyone know, where they can find you again on social media.
Yeah, of course. They always follow me along on Twitter at MDSFF Show. We get those player news update notifications for you guys. And on Facebook at MDFF Show. And, of course, check out the consistency rankings. And all the shows you can actually see now are on the BellyUpFantasySports.com website.
Yeah, so guys, as always, give him a follow. He's a great fan, great guest of the show here now, great friend of the show now. So give him a follow, guys. And then, as of course, guys, always, again, like we said before, please go check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com, where we have all of our, episodes, live streams, rankings, articles, you name it, we got it up there. And you can follow us on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. You can follow me at Coach Stephen P. And you can follow Jibs at Hot Take Honcho on Twitter as well. So thank you guys for listening tonight. Enjoy the rest of your week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and until next time, guys.